I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1 and verse 16. The Gospel of Mark and chapter 1 and verse 16. And that is page 999. Now as he walked, that is Jesus, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. Now, our subject this morning, as we continue through the Gospel of Mark, is Jesus calling his disciples. Jesus calling his disciples. Now, God, in his wisdom and in his sovereign grace, has chosen to build his kingdom using the labors of his children. This is a remarkable evidence of how God condescends to work in partnership with his children, those who are called by his grace, saved by the redeeming precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, those following him. And so here, the Lord Jesus Christ is calling disciples to follow him and to serve God in the full-time ministry. Now, the Lord Jesus could have been totally independent in his ministry and accomplished all himself. After his return to heaven, the Holy Spirit could have built God's kingdom independently from God's children. However, this is not God's way. Rather, God, in his great mercy and love and condescension, causes to call and equip his children to serve him in building. While salvation is all of God's grace, it's all of God's power, he chooses to work through his children, serving him in the ministry as an appointed means of building his kingdom. And so, while we know then salvation is all of God's grace, in Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, nevertheless, God harmonizes his sovereign grace, his sovereign work, using the labors of his children simply as channels for his blessing. And this reminds us this morning then of the privilege, the importance of laboring for the Lord in our day and generation. There is no greater privilege for you this morning than to be a laborer for the Lord in whatever the Lord is calling you in this morning. That is your great supreme privilege, to be a laborer of the Lord, to be a channel through whom God can work for the building of his kingdom. Well, here the head of the church, Jesus Christ, is calling disciples to serve alongside him under his leadership. And so today God calls his children to serve him in various ways, working as unto the Lord and for his glory. Now, first of all then, we consider the call, the call. Now, as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, here the Lord is calling Simon and Andrew, and later James and John, into full-time ministry. Now, while not all are called to leave their employment to serve in full-time ministry, all Christian believers are to be full-time in their following of the Lord. Whatever is your calling in this world, whether you're called into the workplace or into education, or as in motherhood, or wherever it might be, whatever the Lord is calling you into in your work or your situation this morning, we are full time if we are the Lord's people. We are full time. We are full time laborers for the Lord. We work as unto the Lord. We care as unto the Lord. We give as unto the Lord. We serve as unto the Lord. There are then in this call that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to Simon and Andrew and James and John certain characteristics that are common to all believers. Nevertheless, the main focus of our passage, the main context of our passage is on the call of the Lord Jesus into full-time pastoral and preaching ministry. Into full-time pastoral and preaching ministry. So we're focusing particularly this morning on the context of the passage on the call to the ministry. Now, I want us to see, first of all, then, that the call was particular. The call was particular into the ministry. Now, as the Lord walked by the Sea of Galilee, there were no doubt a number of fishermen working their nets on the seashore. Now, the Lord did not invite or call or interview a number of candidates and then make his choice. That's not how God works. He doesn't need to do that. He already knows from eternity who he's going to call into the full-time ministry. And here the Lord specifically called Simon and Andrew. And they were in God's sovereign pleasure, called by God in his wisdom to serve him. They were chosen by God. A little further on the seashore, the Lord called James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They were preordained from all eternity to serve the Lord at such a time. And this creates an awesome responsibility for us, does it not, friends? When you call a pastor, or when you as a local church consider sending a man out into the ministry of the Lord, it's an awesome responsibility, but it's a call. And it's all according to God's sovereign timing. He knows from all eternity who he has chosen, who he's ordained to into the preaching ministry of his word. Well, in the Gospel of Luke, we are told that before he chose his disciples, he spent all night in prayer unto God. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who knew all things in any case, as a perfect man, went on his knees and spent all night in prayer to God the Father for guidance. And from this we learn that the call into the full-time ministry is a particular call. It's a personal call. It's a godly call. Simon and Andrew did not apply for this ministry. They were called into the ministry by Jesus Christ according to God's will. No man takes this honor unto himself. We are accountable, friends, before God on that great day of judgment, how we have preached, how we have ministered, how we have warned, how we have taught, how we have been faithful. And no man takes this honor unto himself. If we imagine ourselves, for example, as a minister in the pulpit and we desire it, this is not a call. We need to be very cautious, friends. If those thoughts are going through our mind and we imagine ourselves and think, I think I should be there. What would it be like? Oh, friends, beware, beware. Oh, God calls the humble. Every true sent servant of the Lord is called into the ministry by the Lord. Jesus said to them, only Jesus said to them, come after me. Come after me. So the first point is the call was particular. Secondly, the call was sacrificial. The call was sacrificial. Straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. They turned their backs on accumulated wealth. They turned their back on future prospects of business. And so it is with the call into full-time ministry. It means laying aside ambition. It means You are called to be a servant of others. A servant of others. It's a call that requires a dying to self, to selfish ambitions, a call that requires faithfulness. This is not a career move. This is not a 9-to-5 job. It requires taking up our cross and following the Lord wherever he will have us to go. Some of us have had to have been called by the Lord to minister in different places. Some remain in the same place for 50, 60 years. And that is remarkable. But not all are called. Some have a different type of call. And we're not our own. We have to go where God would have us to go. The call then is sacrificial. But then, thirdly, the call was compelling. Straightway, they forsook their nets and followed him. When Simon, Andrew, James, and John were called by the Lord, they immediately responded. There was no choice in the end. And so it is when the Lord calls a person into the ministry, it becomes such a burden. In the end, it's compelling. There is no alternative. James and John left their father Zebedee in the ship. And this call superabounded family ties. Now, one of the more recent manifestations of the slide of the church into a more materialistic secular outlook is evidenced in the way a minister views his employment in this day and age. It seems that a minister is not so much called these days, but he applies for a position along with others. The applicants are asked to provide their CVs. A committee is set up for the appointment and considers these. A shortlist is made. Those invited to come are asked to demonstrate their preaching skills to the church. And I have heard prospective ministers talk to me a while ago, not recently, but a while ago, discussing location. And I heard one minister say to me, well, I didn't really want to go there because it was too far away from my family. It was not a good place for the children and their education. It wasn't really suitable for us. It was too far away from London, too far away from this place and that place. Oh, it wasn't a desirable area to work for the family, so we decided on a different place. Then we read and hear that hours are dictated to the church. It's become a 9-to-5 job. Sabbaticals are arranged. Limited amount of sermons are having to prepare. A minister does not choose a church. A minister does not choose a location. A minister does not apply for a position. A minister is called by God to preach. He's called by the local church to be their pastor wherever. In the New Testament pattern, a minister did not apply for a position as a pastor. He was called by God and the local church. And it meant them going sometimes great distances. Nowhere do we read in the New Testament of applying for positions. They were chosen, appointed as elders by the local church, who recognized they were called by God. And this call is compelling to the heart. It superabounds all other considerations. It's a unique call. We have to establish, is the church calling us? And when the church, we believe in prayer and in meditation and in guidance and with those signs that God in his mercy gives to us, those evidences of blessing, that the Lord is drawing us to a church and we have to come. The call is compelling. We are not our own. And so it was with Simon and Andrew and James and John. It was compelling. But then the call was equipping also. It's good for us to notice something very significant in the wording of the Lord Jesus here. In verse 17, and Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I will make you to become fishers of men. Now, they are going to be equipped of God to serve him. Now, we know these fishermen were non-academic men. Nevertheless, they were made to be fishers of men. They were given great theological minds to comprehend deep truths. Well, friends, it's a wonderful blessing for us if we are gifted academically. It's a great help for study. If God calls a man who's got an academic mind and got a real aptitude for study and learning, that's an asset. But that doesn't constitute the call. It's God that ultimately equips us to be fishers of men. It's a Holy Spirit work. And we must never move away from this dependence upon the Holy Spirit of God, the anointing, the unction of the Holy Spirit, which is to be upon the ministry and upon the mind. Think of Simon Peter. He was a fisherman. And he was called by the Lord Jesus. And he had to develop in his thinking to understand the greatness of God's mercy and grace, both to Jew and to Gentile. You know, Peter had a great theological mind toward the Jews. He understood the gospel and he was happy to preach the gospel to the Jews. But he had to have his mind emancipated. There was a time when his ministry had to develop and he had to submit to God's wisdom when he had to go and preach to the Gentiles. And God showed him that God's gospel was going out through the whole world. Oh, this remarkable man who was called by God, the Apostle Peter. From that fisherman's boat he was called. And then you see what God does with a man in his great mercy and grace and how he develops the man here theologically. Listen to this man writing in his first letter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Listen to this theologian. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, and to obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, what a remarkable man of God. How he has been taught, how he has been developed, how the Lord has worked in the power of his Holy Spirit, and Peter the fisherman becomes a fisher of man and one of the greatest theological minds of his time as an apostle. Well, the Lord made them able preachers of the word as they applied themselves diligently to their call. You see, it wasn't just easy for them. It wasn't that the Lord just made them in a sense without any effort on their part, any diligence on their part. Oh no, Peter and James and John and Andrew, they would have studied the word of God thoroughly. They would have asked many, many questions of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would have studied to make them prove themselves to be a workman approved of God. Oh friends, as God makes his disciples, Jesus makes his disciples, it's in partnership with them exercising themselves, applying themselves, studying and understanding that there's an effort involved, there's a labor. You see, these men were called to be fishers of men, and we'll see in a moment how a fisherman is a laborer. It's hard work. It's hard work. To be a minister is to be a laborer. A laborer. We have to labor. And so many times in the New Testament, we are told about the Lord's servants are called to be laborers, servants. Well, the Lord made them able preachers of the word. James was known as a pillar of the church. They were made able preachers and pastors, fishers of men. Well, the Lord made them then. He equipped them. He called them. He appointed their places to serve. Now, if we are called by the Lord into the full-time ministry, into the ministry of his word, we will also be equipped by the Lord. The two go together. He will bless our labors in the word. The point being here is the equipping goes with the call. That's very important. And this equipping becomes evident to the local church. The Lord, the head of the church, calls a man into the ministry and equips the man, and then the church sends that man out to preach. There's a partnership between the person and the church. For example, in the case of a brother exercised as to the call into the ministry, the local church is the first place to test the call. The members of the local church must discern, first of all, is that man equipped? We have a solemn responsibility. We are called by God in this day and generation. Here is a dear brother. He has a burden towards the ministry, and he feels the Lord has laid it on his heart. And so the local church, that we must listen, or whoever that local church must be, the local church is the first place to test the call, to allow the members to discern if the person is equipped. And there may be occasions where the church does not discern a gift. And they will kindly express this reservation. They have to. They are responsible before the Lord to do so. This is not to reject a person, but they have to be honest. But if there is a call from the Lord and an equipping from the Lord, and equally the church will discern this in the ministry. And so we have this solemn responsibility to discern spiritually, to be spiritually minded, because unless we're spiritually minded, we will not discern the call in the first place. So if we are not discerning a call, we have to ask ourselves, how am I listening? Am I listening in the right spirit? Am I listening in a spiritually minded way? Have I prayed for this brother? Have I had him in my prayers? Well, if the two come together and there's a discerning of the call, the Lord calls and the Lord makes fishers of men, and we understand that the call to the ministry is uniquely ordered by the Lord. But the call then, as I said earlier, is sacrificial. And if someone is burdened about the preaching ministry, they must understand in their mind that it may result in full-time ministry. If we are concerned about the ministry of the Word of God, we must understand that if we are sincere, if we are genuine, and the Lord is going to bless our labors, it may result in a call, ultimately, to the pastorate. That call may be 200 miles away. That call may be in another country. That call may be in a town or a city that we had no idea we were going to be in. I think I told you this some years ago, greatly privileged to work with Dr. Masters at the Tabernacle. And I remember preaching at the Tabernacle some while before that, about 2 years before the call, and I was driving up the Woolworth Road for lunch, and I locked the door of the car that I was in. I thought, I would never live here. I'd never want to live here and work here. It's really tough around here. And you know, that was the very place the Lord called me. There was no choice in the end. In fact, we lived along the Woolworth Road because the Lord is in control. He ordains the call. And you see, we have to understand, we have to count the cost. And are you counting the cost? If you feel the Lord is calling you into a full-time ministry, are you counting the cost? Do you realize that it might mean forsaking your nets and following the Lord? But then I want us to look now at the commission. We've looked at the call, now we look at the commission. Now the Lord in his commission changes their occupation from the material to the spiritual. They forsook their nets and followed him. So it is with the call into the ministry. Our focus moves from the material to the spiritual. It moves from the body to the soul, from time things to eternal things. They forsook their nets and followed Jesus. It places a solemn responsibility then for a minister to see his role now as a catcher of men, a spiritual fisherman. The net that is provided for the fisherman, the spiritual fisherman, is the gospel. The net of the gospel of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And as the gospel is preached, the Holy Spirit draws souls to Christ in the net of the gospel. So it is the Lord that makes the minister, he equips the minister, and then he provides the minister with the message to preach, the net of the gospel, the net, the fisherman's net, in which to draw in the souls. To be a fisher of men, we need to use the gospel net. And if we're not using the gospel net, we're not a fisherman of souls that God can use. Oh, any other net is inadequate. Notice here the picture, the symbolism. Zebedee and John, his brother, were also in the ship mending their nets. Oh, those nets they were using, they broke. They had holes in, and they had to keep mending them. And friends, any other net than the gospel net is inadequate for the salvation of souls. And it's so sad when we see the ministers using any other net than the gospel. Oh, they gather in huge crowds. And perhaps thousands are coming to their services. But the net that's being used has to continually be mended. It's not a gospel net. It's another net. Oh, any other net than the gospel will break. And then there is something significant in the symbolism also in this commission of God using in his calling four fishermen. Four fishermen. And the call of the Lord here teaches us that God can take men of humble origin and equip them for his service. Now, some of you will have heard of a very remarkable minister by the name of William Gadsby. Now, William Gadsby was the most remarkable preacher. And he was based up in Manchester, the north of the country, and he had a great compassion and care for the poor in Manchester. But you know, when he was called by God to preach, he was a weaver, and he worked in his cottage. He was a very humble man. But God called him, God equipped him, God provided him with a gospel net to preach, and hundreds of people came to hear him preach and were saved under his ministry. A very humble man. And God often chooses to work in this manner. You see, it is Jesus Christ that makes fishers of men. He gives them wisdom and grace and spiritual maturity and understanding. Now then, the picture of these fishermen then, we see the humble origin. We have to understand that not many wise, not many mighty are called, but God chooses oftentimes to raise up men from humble origin. Jesus Christ then makes some fishers of men. But this fisherman symbolism here, this fisherman picture, it's so helpful for us. It's so kind of the Lord to do it in this way, to give us a picture of what the ministry is. The fishermen would constantly be letting down their nets to draw the fish in. That fishing in the Sea of Galilee was not like fishing with a rod and line. You sit there, the fisherman's all relaxing. He sits on the bank and he has a rod and a line and he waits for the float to pop down and he pulls the fish out and he's sitting in an armchair and all looks ever so relaxing. It wasn't like that. In the Sea of Galilee, they were fishing in the boats, and it was a constant casting the net, then drawing in the net, then casting the net, and drawing in the net. Oh, friends, it was constant. It was hard work. And so it must be that the fisherman of men, the fisher of men, must constantly be letting down his net and drawing the fish in. Oh, friends, sometimes we let down the net and we don't get a catch. But we don't say, I'm giving up. I don't want to let that net down anymore. It's not worth it. No, we have to keep letting down the net. Letting down the net. Constantly let down the gospel net and preach the gospel. But then fishermen are known for being hard workers. Oh, if you wanted to be a fisherman even today, forget about it. If you want to, don't want to work hard, oh, forget about it, because the work of the fisherman, it's hard. It's hard work. So the minister, as I said before, is called to be a laborer. A laborer. Fishermen are known for their bravery in the sea, in the deep. So the minister is called to labor in deep waters, to study God's word, to get, because we have to dig deep. What is God saying here? What is God saying to us in his word? How can we bring out something of the riches of God's word? For those of you, you've come in from busy workplaces, your minds are tired, and you want to draw from the well of God's word. Well, the minister has to go to the well of God's word. He has to draw from the well of God's word so that you can drink. But if we don't draw down into that well, and we don't draw up, how can you drink? And so, friends, there's a solemn responsibility for us to be a laborer and to be brave, to dig in the deep, to study God's word. And we have to go through the deep waters of opposition. Sometimes there's very stormy waters and testing times. And we're there, as it were, in the boat with the Lord. And like Peter, we think we're going to sink. Lord, save me. Or when we look away from Christ and we look at all the situation, the consequences, we often begin to sink. Fishermen have to work in stormy conditions sometimes. And so a minister is called to lead and encourage and support people in their stormy conditions, in the trials of their life, when things come into their family. So we are called. Fishermen have to work difficult hours, sometimes to catch the fish. And the minister is on call to constantly, like a lifeboatman. You know, I don't want to bring attention to myself, but whenever I go to bed, I always make sure the phone is next to the bed, the mobile and the other phone. You never know, there may be someone in distress, and we're called, we're like lifeboatmen. I read of a man recently who said that when he was on his day off, he wasn't to be contacted. Well, what happens if a person dies? What happens if a person has an accident? Well, you say, well, I can't call the pastor today because he's on his day off. Of course not. We're lifeboatmen. We have to work difficult hours. The servant of the Lord must dismiss from their mind all secular worldly means also of fishing for souls. He must dismiss from his mind any thought of running the spiritual affairs of the church like a business. Souls are not a marketing commodity to be caught in a communication net. That is part of the problem today. People think that by clever communication. I remember once, many years ago, one of the members of our church, way back, they had a family, and they were back in somewhere in another part, another town. And this particular person had come from a different type of background than we were in, but he was a sincere brother. And he came to me in the evening service and said, I had this amazing service this morning. So I've been to this huge church, he said, and they were hundreds of people there, and the minister stood on the platform, and he walked up and down the platform with his microphone. He didn't need the word of God. Oh, he said it was an incredible message. Half an hour, he said, he captivated us with his communication. And he looked at me and said, why can't you do that? Well, thing was, I haven't got that sort of communication gift. So I said to him, well, brother, what was the text? He didn't know. I don't think the man had a text. He said, I can't remember the text. Well, the man was undoubtedly a credible communicator. He could communicate. He could capture people's minds. But friends, it's the gospel net. It's the word of God that we're called to preach. Oh, souls are precious in God's sight. We are saved according to God's grace by the net of the gospel of Christ. The Apostle Peter, one of those fishermen first called by the Lord, as we've quoted him before, I quote him again. This is what he said about the servant of the Lord. And I want you to listen to this very carefully because it's very challenging. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that I should be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, that's money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now that's the criteria that Peter sets for a servant of the living God. But then finally this morning, as we come to conclusion, I want us to look at the commander of the call. The passage reminds us of the decisive authority of the Lord Jesus and the impact of his call. Come after me, I will make. Straight away they forsook their nets and followed him. Straight away he called them. They left their father, the hired servants, and went after him. From the outset of his ministry, the Lord commanded authority. He did so with humility. He did so with meekness. He did so with grace. He did so with love. He did so with sincerity. But he commanded authority. And it was clear from the faithful testimony of the Gospels that the Lord spoke with authority and effect. Those in the synagogue were astonished, we read, at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. All bear him witness at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And this passage reminds us of the leadership of Christ, of the power of Jesus Christ as the head of the church, the Lord of the church. Here must be our starting point this morning. The Lord is the head of the church. The Lord is the foundation of the church. The Lord is the cornerstone of the church. The Lord is the shepherd of the church. And as the disciples responded to his authority and to his leadership and to his teaching and to his example, so it is today. His servants are called to do the same. We are not our own. We serve our master. And this truth is liberating when we sometimes are overwhelmed with fear. The fear of man which brings a snare. Sometimes we might get a phone call and it will burden us tremendously. And we'll think, what am I going to do about this situation? And we think in our mind and we think, what we do here, what we do there. That is not the way. We have a commander, Jesus Christ. What would Christ do? What would our Lord Jesus do? What is he teaching us? Oh, we look to the Lord Jesus. He's almighty. He's infinite in wisdom. He's infinite in knowledge. He is love. He is truth. He is gracious. He is merciful. And so he calls his servants to personally follow him, to serve him, to preach of him, to preach his message. Well, this call then is particular, it's equipping, it's sacrificial, it's laboring. The commission is clear. We are called to be fishers of men, that meaning men in the general sense of men, women, boys, girls, young people, young men, young ladies, fishers of men. The commander is Jesus Christ, the Lord, Son of God made man. And the call to the ministry is unique. It's not a profession. It is a ministry for the servants of the living God. Well, may the Lord bless this message and help us as we sing our closing hymn.